Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Doing wonderful, brother.
Well, praise the Lord. Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
I am blessed.
Blessed. That's awesome. And praise the Lord. We're going to be talking today about endorsing Paula White's new book. Well, we wouldn't be endorsing that, but apparently some, what many would consider conservative Christian evangelical believers, decided that endorsing Paula White's new book, Something Greater, was a good idea. Now, what I find interesting about this story, and I'm going to read all the endorsements and who gave them and what they said, some of which have been taken down, but what I find interesting about this story is that you're going to see that both sides of the spectrum of Christianity, both the liberal side that we would differ with, and it's really hard to find I don't believe, actually, that you could be a Christian and okay with baby murder, but from the liberal side and liberal's perspective, people are disgusted by this because Paula White is... Tony, why would they be upset if they were liberals? Because Paula White is who? Donald Trump's spiritual advisor, right?
That's right, yeah.
So we're going to talk about how both sides have a big problem with this. But the side that for me, I was actually a little stunned to see some of this, was more of the conservative side. When it comes to conservative, I'm not talking about Republican. I'm talking about, and some of these guys, I think, Robert Jeffers, we'll be reading about him. He would be, I guess, at this point, probably more Republican than anything. That's what he's known for now, is his support of Donald Trump. And I think that's highlighted by his support for Paula White. So this is what he tweeted out, and it's still up, by the way. Dr. Robert Jeffers said, "My friend Paula White has a wonderful new book releasing tomorrow about God's power to transform lives. Read Something Greater and give it to anyone looking for hope. Yes, look to Paula White for some hope." The other one that was a little surprising, and I saw a tweet about this. They said, "I thought I have eclectic friends," and they had a picture of Jack Graham with not only Paula White, but also, well, his endorsement of Paula White, but then a picture with John MacArthur. What an interesting, diverse spectrum there, especially with John MacArthur just coming out against women pastors just recently at his conference, Truth Matters Conference, where he told Beth Moore to go home, and that created its own controversy. But this is what Jack Rano, he said, "My good friend Paula White has written a new book, which releases tomorrow. It is powerful. I highly recommend it." So these guys still have their tweets up, okay? And so does Jerry Falwell, who's now the president there at Liberty University. He said, "Our friend Paula White is about to release her new book, Something Greater. Paula's life is an encouragement to so many, and I'm sure this book will encourage you. Here's a link to pre-order at a discounted rate." So those are the guys who still, if you went, you can go see, they still have on their Twitter those posts. But here are the guys who posted and then apparently did half a recantation because they were able to take down the Twitter, but have not made any comments further on this as far as I'm concerned, or that I know, or that anyone else that I've read has said. And one that I got to be honest, I was a little disappointed in was Franklin Graham. And I mean, only so much, you know, I expect out of him. I think his dad went off in a lot of ways, especially towards the end of his life, even going on Robert Schuller's thing and saying there's a wideness to the gospel and very dangerous
Larry
things.
King that, interview, yeah. But Schuller was on that interview, yeah.
Yeah, and he had Schuller speak. He spoke simulcast as well, where he said something very similar. And Franklin Graham said this, "Paula White has led an interesting life and now serves as a trusted advisor to Real Donald Trump," at Real Donald Trump, his Twitter handle. Said she has a new book coming out tomorrow that you might want to check out. He deleted that, and so did Greg Laurie, who said, "Honestly," and he tried to caveat it as much as he could, and it kind of seems like he was speaking out of both sides of his mouth, so that may be why he deleted it, because he said, "Honestly, I'm not sure what to think I was not sure what to think when I was first invited to meet Paula White. Clearly, we differed in some areas theologically. Yet, I have found her to be gracious and humble. I'm glad she has taken the time to write down her amazing life story. It will give you hope. Yes, sadly, not only some guys out there, and I'm kind of wondering why, but also before we get to that, maybe, I don't know how Joe wants to direct this, but I want you guys to realize why we would say it's dangerous to point out this kind of stuff. And we're going to talk a little bit about endorsing people, but why would it be dangerous about endorsing Paula White? She just seems, obviously from these guys, these trusted sources of truth, I figure I got to be able to read this book. It's got to be so impactful and so wonderful. She must be a great teacher. What do you think?
I'll tell you from the Apostle Paul's words, this is why. Romans 16, 17, and 18. In fact, that's an easy address to remember. Just think, this last chapter, Romans 16, 17, 18. Chapter 16, verses 17 and 18 says, "Now I urge you, brethren, mark those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them," not endorse their books. He goes on to say, "For those who are of such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by smooth words and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the simple." Because by just associating with false teachers, you endorse them.
Yeah.
But then if you are considered a popular conservative evangelical teacher, and then you give them high praise and endorsement, then guess what? All kinds of people look to them and they start to accept them, because after all, they look at you as being a solid teacher, and it must be one of those things where this person can't be that bad because you're actually telling us to buy their book. And I've read some of that book online, and I didn't want to give them 10, 12 bucks, but I read enough to just get nauseated. And it's weird because that one of the last references you gave, I think it was from Lori, talked about her being humble. I don't know if he read the book. I mean, it's like so narcissistic, so egotistical. And I mean, what do you expect from somebody who believes that, you know, Jesus, who has taught that Jesus isn't the only begotten Son of God and teaches that we are God's, though? And there's always in the Word Faith movement, it seems, a diminishing of Jesus and an exaltation of self. But she makes, I mean, I almost brought one of her quotes, I didn't, where she just waxes eloquent about how awesome she is. I was just like reading this, I'm like, you know, what happened to that verse that says, "Let another person praise you," you know?
Yeah,
I mean, it was just a blow of mine. Anyway, there's a lot of reasons why what Chad mentions and Tony and I are concerned about with regard to Paula White. She's one of the heroes in the Word Faith movement. I mean, she's top five in the Word Faith movement right now. In fact, she's considered Trump's primary spiritual advisor, which is, you know, and she talked about how Trump called her and told her how fantastic she was and that she got on board and so forth. But just listen to some of her teaching. And by the way, you know, Jeffress, who's also, you know, Robert Jeffress, who's outspoken conservative pastor, quite political, but he's actually didn't take his endorsement away. And by the way, would these guys have withdrawn their endorsement if there was so much? God only knows their hearts, but it just breaks my heart. Jerry Falwell Jr. was an endorser. Ralph Reed. Jeffress dug his feet in the ground and defended, you know, his endorsement, which just blows me away. But let's just, why are we concerned? Because this woman is teaching satanic doctrine.
Yeah.
She's teaching Satan's doctrine in the Garden of Eden. Satan himself wanted to be as God, like the Most High, and he told Eve, "You shall be as God, and the Antichrist will proclaim to be God." And this is the doctrine that is in the church right now, a severely satanic false doctrine that's preparing the way of the Antichrist. And it's interesting because listen to what she taught, okay? Paula White says, "You are a little Elohim. You are little gods. You are a little God. Your spirit is God." And she's pointing, I watched the video where she says this, and she points to herself. She says, inside your flesh, she says, you know, your spirit, not that you have God living in you by his spirit. She says, your spirit is God. Then she emphasizes really strongly, God, you know? And it sounds like Gnosticism, you know, to where the flesh is evil, but, you know, inwardly, you could, you know, have the spark of divinity and what have you. And it's interesting because she not only teaches a little God's doctrine, but she's so materialistic. There's such an emphasis on being rich and God wanting you to be a king's kid and wanting you to have all this prosperity, where it's constantly about us. And that's what the Bible says in the last days, terrible times to come, men would be lovers of self. And that's what we're seeing today. In fact, Jesus said, what did Jesus say? Listen, folks, he said, anyone who would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If you want to be a Christian, you must deny yourself. You know what Paula White said to a TBN audience? She said, anyone who tells you to deny yourself is from Satan. Now, I'm going to go with Jesus every time over Paula White. And when she tells me that Jesus is Satan, because she says if anyone tells you to deny yourself, that it's from Satan, you know? Of course, you're not to deny yourself. You're supposed to affirm that you are Elohim, you know? God says he'll have no other gods before him. You know, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, right? The Redeemer of Israel. He says, I'm the first and last. Beside me, there is no God. I believe it's Isaiah 43:10 where it says, you're my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. Before me, there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Well, yeah, there are many, or it says in Corinthians, Paul says, there are many who are called gods, but they're not real gods. He says, for us, there's only one true God, right? One Lord, the Lord Jesus. And Paul says, there's only one God by nature. Jeremiah says, those false gods, those that are not true gods, he says, they shall perish from under the earth. Satan is the god of this world system, but he's a false god. There's only one true God, brothers and sisters. And it's important that we understand that. And she's saying, I quote again, you are little Elohim. You are a little God. Your spirit is God. God. And this is just reprehensible teaching. Now, it's interesting as well. I heard her denying that she had claimed that Jesus was not the only begotten Son of God. And she said, oh, if somebody ever said that on my show, I would have stopped it immediately. That never happened, you know. And I put words in her mouth. She didn't say that never happened. But that was what she was insinuating. She said, and she's being influenced by the Catholic Reporter or some Catholic newspaper and or online magazine. And she said, no, she said, if somebody would have said something like that during one of my shows, I would have just stopped them. I would have stopped it right there because I care about sound doctrine and stuff. And I was like, what in the world? Because guess what? I saw with my own eyes. I think I saw it two or three times now. I saw it today as well, or two or three times today. And she says, basically, the guy's on there repeating over and over again that Jesus was not the only begotten Son of God. He was not the only begotten Son of God. And she's shaking her head as she is. And I listened to several minutes of this, and she's shaking her head like, you know, and she's telling him over and over again, come on. While he's saying that, she's saying, come on. And what she means is preach it, because a little later on she's saying, come on, preach it. And she even throws in that he was the first. She's shaking her head in agreement. And then she says, he was the first fruits, like the first of many sons of God. Agreeing with him that he's not the only begotten Son of God. And that just, you know, and I thought, isn't that exactly what happens in the occult? Nobody wants to follow Jesus for who he really is. The Bible warns about a different Jesus. And they want to elevate themselves. And that's what Satan does. And I mentioned many scriptures earlier. But listen, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his, the NASB and the King James, his only begotten Son. The ESV has his only Son. The NIV has one and only Son. Okay? And that's because that word, monogene, is actually a word, a Greek word, is a compound word, mono meaning, you know, one and or only, and gene meaning begotten. So it can be translated literally, only begotten, and many translations have historically. A lot of the newer translations translate it one and only, because that's how that word was often used in the first century, or only, I should say. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, monogene is used by Abraham, of Abraham's only begotten son. Now we know he also begat Ishmael, so many scholars point out that it's probably best translated only son there. Either way, whether it's you translate it only begotten or only son, he's saying, no, that's not Jesus. And now this is important to understand. Because as they teach this, they're trying to give us the idea that we're just like Jesus. You know, many of them teach that Jesus had to be born again, that he suffered in hell. He was tormented by the devil for our sins, and then he rose again, and he had to be born again, and that we're born again, and we're just like Jesus. And it's important when you get into this and you see what they teach. In fact, the granddaddy of the Word Faith movement, which she follows, says those who are, this is Kenneth Hagin, says those who are born again, Hagin said, are as much the incarnation, it's about the incarnation of God, are as much the incarnation as Jesus of Nazareth. So according to him, that you are as much an incarnation as Jesus was. And it's interesting because Kenneth Copeland said, you don't have a God living in you, you are one. Creflo Dollar adds, quote, that the only human part of you is the flesh you're wearing. In other words, guess what? What are they teaching consistently? Many of them, Creflo Dollar, you know, Paula White, that your flesh is really the only human part, but inwardly in your spirit is God. That is rank heresy. That's like one of the most satanic heresies you could teach. So we are God, but Jesus, and basically she's doing one of two things. Think it through. When she's saying that Jesus is not the only begotten Son of God, and she's agreeing with that, and having it preached on her program, and telling the guy to keep preaching, bring it on, you know. She's either saying that he is not God, or that we are in the same way he is, because he's one of many. How do you deny the Father? All you do is teach that there's many gods. How do you deny Jesus? You just teach that he's just one of many sons, not that he's the unique Son of God. Jesus is the only begotten, unique Son of God, because he was with the Father from everlasting. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the uncreated creator of all things. John chapter 1 says that all things came into being but by him, and that nothing came to being that has come to being but by him. He created everything out of nothing by the word of his power. So it's important that we understand that we don't want to diminish Jesus' sonship. And even in the Old Testament, you know, God says, do you know the name of my son? You know? And he says, kiss the son. You know? So Jesus preexisted as the word, as the logos with the Father from everlasting past. So when you look at her teaching, it's absolute heresy. Listen to John 1:14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten, okay, monogene again, of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 3:18, he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. 1 John 4:9, and this love was manifested, that a God manifests love toward us because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. These verses this guy was denying and she was agreeing. 1 John 2:22 fits them. Who is a liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. By stripping Jesus of his unique deity as the only begotten Son of God, as the unique, one and only Son, totally different than us. We're made in God's image, but guess what? We were made. Adam was made from the dust, amen? We were begotten by flesh, amen? Jesus is with the Father from eternity past. There's an infinite distinction between us and Jesus. Now, he became a man, took flesh, and died in our place. But then he said in his prayer, high priestly prayer before he died, you know, Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world was. What did that glory look like? All you have to do is go to Isaiah 6 and see Isaiah seeing Jesus high and lifted up, and the holy seraphim. Seraphim means fiery ones because reflecting the fire of God as they cover their faces with their wings because he's a consuming fire, are saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And that is quoted, part of Isaiah 6 is quoted of Jesus when Isaiah says, saw his glory in the Gospel of John. That's how awesome Jesus is. And guess what? In the new heaven and new earth, guess what? We won't have any need of the Son. Why? Because it says the Father and the Lamb, Jesus, the Son, will light up New Jerusalem. There won't be any need for the Son because they're brighter. The heaven of heavens can't contain our God. And our God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So what you're seeing in the world today is you're seeing Satan bring packaging lies to where you can have prosperity. You can think that you're a God as he prepares a way for the Antichrist and leads people away from the true gospel and the true Son of God. And as they diminish Jesus and God's sovereignty and his authority and exalt man and perpetuate this lie that's about us, it's all about getting our eyes off of Jesus. And by the way, it talks about those deceive you with smooth and flattering words, you know, and that their gods are really themselves, Paul says. Their gods are belly. So what they're really doing when you think about it, to think it's profound, they're really serving themselves. And that's what these guys are doing. It's gotten really gross. She's been married a few times. And in between one of her marriages, she was hooking up with Benny Hinn.
Yeah, I was actually going to bring that up.
Go ahead.
You know, it's interesting because we're talking about a book. And Benny Hinn's publishing company at that time actually filed a lawsuit against him for breaking the morality clause. Yep.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. He broke the morality clause because he was seen in Italy holding hands
in front of a hotel.
Yeah, in front of a hotel. Even
holding
a hotel.
Hands with Paula.
It seems really interesting that these guys would link up that way. Both, and like you said, this isn't her first marriage either. You know, I mean, this was in between one of the three marriages that she's had, the most recent one being with Jonathan Cain. And I'm sure you'll get into some of the teaching there, but we talked about it on 511 News a few weeks ago. We played the clip of Jonathan Cain sitting there at their pulpit, by the way, we could talk about that. You know, sitting there at their pulpit, going and literally telling a conference, telling believers, first of all, I wouldn't tell this to non-believers, right? I think most people wouldn't. Telling believers, hey, you know what you should do? You should go watch porn if you're not exciting your husband. And she's like, oh, we're not, you know, you can be addicted to that. And you can just see her, like, it was so embarrassing. And by the way, how repugnant. You're talking about what enslaves so many professing believers, too, by the way. We're talking about pornography, something that absolutely enslaves people, something that Jesus spoke about that said, cut off your hand, pluck out your eyeball. And he's saying, go get involved in this. And she doesn't rebuke that. Yeah. I mean, absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. And she's a materialist. I mean, she teaches, you know, that there, in one of her books, that there's a Department of Treasury in heaven. You know, just wacko.
Is it run by Judas?
Teaching. Yeah,
run by Judas.
No, because he's not there, right?
Yeah,
amen. It's a tradition, but yeah.
So well, the where there is a treasury, maybe.
Yeah, right, right. She basically she's on Jim Baker's show trying to raise him a bunch of money.
That was just recently.
Him. Yeah, and recent telethon, right? Yeah. And she's got, you know, she says, we're trying to build this new studio, or Baker is, and she's calling people right now. Someone is about to send you that $1 million check in the name of Jesus. You just have to be obedient, whether it's $100,000 or $10,000 you send. So, and she lets people know that, you know, that if you, you know, you can demand your anointing, basically. In fact, she, one place she actually teaches, and this was just reprehensible, that, you know, that you basically can get on the phone, you know, call in, and she says, put a demand on your anointing, because God's going to give you your anointing. And he's going to make God, and you know, your anointing is going to make God get off of his ivory throne. And it's just, it's like witchcraft. It's like God's treated as a genie. And don't you miss this moment, she says. If you miss your moment, you'll miss your miracle. And then she said, when Jesus asked Lazarus, according to the old King James, his face was bound with a napkin. So in other words, when Jesus did his miracle with Lazarus, his face was bound with a napkin. So guess what? If you send $11.44, you'll get a napkin that she's blessed.
So
and it's based on John 11:44, where Judas had, or Lazarus had a napkin on his face. So she takes, you know, 11:44, and she claims that she's blessed all these napkins. And if you buy them for 11:44, she'll make a ton of money off you. But, you know, you'll get blessed and you'll have miracle power. This is making merchandise of men. And brothers and sisters, this is so serious, because I'm encouraging Christians, and if you listen to one of our last shows, I'm telling you, be very, very careful with the political world right now, because, you know, she's associated with Donald Trump. A lot of Christians are gathering together saying this is the move of God, and I don't believe God is blessing, is having Paula, you know, White being, you know, to be Donald Trump's, you know, spiritual advisor. I do believe there's a delusion going on to a degree, and we need to be more careful, and I do believe, I'm not talking about stand up for what's right politically from a kingdom standpoint whereby Jesus is first. But I'm saying we have to be very careful that we don't associate so much with those who are wicked and preaching false doctrine, because what's going to happen is this, is the world is going to persecute Christians on the basis, I believe, largely on a false form of Christianity, this money-hungry form of materialistic Christianity, which is all about self, which isn't true Christianity, is going to cause more and more persecution in the church. And by the way, it's already happening because of these false teachers. Peter, I know this not because I'm so brilliant, but because Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2 that there'll be false teachers among you, even as there were false prophets among them, who will bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them. He says they'll exploit you with stories that they've made up, and they'll make merchandise of you.
Yeah.
They'll make money off of you. That's what these guys are doing. And then he goes on to say, because of them, the truth will be brought into disrepute.
Amen.
In other words, true Christianity will suffer a huge black eye because of these false prosperity teachers. This is what the scriptures warn about. So brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, this is serious, because it's giving Jesus a black eye. Amen. And it's not only giving Jesus a black eye, but it's leading many professing Christians away from Jesus. Because Jesus said you can't serve both God and money. He said you can't serve God and mammon. You're loving one and hate the other. You're going to hate the one and love the other. Jesus said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust can corrupt and thieves don't break in and steal. So brothers and sisters, I'm letting you know we have to take this more seriously and dig our feet into the rock who is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's interesting. We actually posted on our Good Fight Facebook page on May 15th when she, right after she did that, it said televangelist Paula White hawks resurrection life for 1144 seed.
Ridiculous.
And I said, she's fulfilling scripture, just not in the way that she thinks. Because 1 Timothy 6:5 says, in constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means of financial gain. And how much more fitting is that? For actually being prophetic. You know, the ravenous wolves also spoken about in Acts chapter 20, you know.
Amen.
They come in amongst the flock, you know. And I think about, you talked about, you know, 2 Peter and also in Jude, you know, it warns of this lie. And it warns of these people that come in and sneak in creep in unnoticed, right? And they're trading the grace of God for a license of immorality.
Yeah, they twist it into a grace of life, a grace.
They're twisting this stuff. And then you have people like Greg Laurie and Franklin Graham, who a lot of I believe genuine believers look at these guys and say, oh, these guys are awesome, you know. And we're probably going to have to do an episode on Greg Laurie bringing Alice Cooper on in and telling everyone how he's a believer, right?
But and him teaching that you could be a believer, not a disciple and follower of Jesus, and everything's still, you're still saved, everything's cool.
And so what we have here is people that are trusted. And what we have is them telling other believers. And imagine, I know Franklin Graham's one of the most followed guys, one of the most followed Christians in the world. And when he posted this, there's a lot of people that have notifications.
That's heartbreaking.
Click on, as soon as it notifies, sends you like a text message, like Franklin Graham sent you a text message. Hey, go read this book. And how many people bought that book? And then, oh, I'll just delete it. And then we'll act like nothing ever happened. And I think we need some renouncing of a phony pastor, which 1 Timothy 2 says, why? All the things that Joe just mentioned that she is deceived on and perpetuating deceit, it says that this is why Paul did not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. And she calls herself Pastor Paula White. And she said, what did Paul appeal to? The creative order, right? And not only the creative order, Adam and Eve, but that Adam was deceived. I think that's really important in what's going on right here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, think about this. We could have done 3 or 4 shows on her because there's so many, you know, scriptural transgressions that she makes. And just to think that this is popular Christianity. And there was a time in the church where a lot of the visible leaders of the evangelical church would take a stand against this stuff.
Amen.
And what's blowing me away right now is like, wow, I mean, you knew we were in the apostasy, you knew the ecumenism would get rolling, but the church is becoming more and more ecumenical, where truth, sound doctrine doesn't matter. And it just breaks my heart. In fact, we need to hear from the Word of God again. Probably good to close with Revelation chapter 3, some words from Jesus in verses 17 through 20, where he was addressing the church of Laodicea, which is a very rich church. And he says, you say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they will eat with me. We're in a day and age where Jesus is outside many churches, and he's not going to get back in. The question is, will we harden our hearts and keep him out, or will we close our hearts to Jesus and leave him out? The handle is on the inside, brothers and sisters. And if you're living for this world and just using the name of Jesus as like a mantra kind of like in witchcraft, you know, you need to repent. You need to embrace him and bow before him as your Lord and Savior and have true life, because Jesus will give you true abundant life in him. But it's not material life, it's spiritual life. And then he'll bless you as you seek first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.